Good morning, everybody. First of all, I'm so thankful. My wife and our boys are so thankful for just the outpouring, amazing outpouring of love that we've received from this congregation. We have a stack of cards at our house like this high from you, and it's just been overwhelming. So we're thankful, and we're all excited to be a part of this family and to do life together and to grow in faith together. And to make disciples. So thank you from the bottom of our heart. You know, if you would have told me just a few short years ago, I consider April 2007 is really the day or the month of my life that I've been a Christian all my life, but I consider April 2007 is the year and the month that I truly surrendered everything to Christ. And if you would have told me then that I'd be standing before you now, I don't know what I would have done or what I would have said, right? I probably would have been like, God, send somebody else. Which, as we've been talking about through this series, God would have said, but I'm with you. But I'm with you. You know, my favorite go-to verse is Joshua 1:9. It says, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I'm going to steal what you told me right before the service. You said, what John Wesley said before he died, best of all, God is with us. So church, if there's anything I want you to hear today, it's this, is that God promises to be with us. Because God comes to dwell with his people. He always has. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, God's been about dwelling with his people. Honestly, I wish I would have titled this sermon, God with Us, because that simple phrase, again, is really the whole story of the Bible. God coming to dwell with his people. So we sing Emmanuel, God with us at Christmas time, don't we? But long before the manger, God was with us. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God dwelled with Adam and Eve in their midst. And then the pillar of cloud and then the pillar of fire, as we've been going through this Moses series through the book of Exodus, God was with us. And today, as we're about to read, God is with us now in what is known as the tabernacle. So in this Moses series, if you've been here for the last month or so, we've seen some incredible stories about how God has been at work. God with us, using ordinary people like Moses and others to do extraordinary things because he is with his people. It's all about his presence. So the whole gist, though, as we've been going through this Moses series, though, the whole thing I think that the Lord wants to say is that it's all about him. Basically, the whole salvation story of God with us is that he draws his people out of darkness and into light. He rescues the slaves and sets us free. The freedom of his presence. So as we pick up our story in Exodus today, let's keep God's presence in mind, okay? Because the Israelites, as we're about to see, we're going to see a tangible, invisible sign, a place that reminded them of God's presence. Not that they hadn't seen that already yet. As we've been going through this whole series, God's been visible in the plagues that he sent upon Egypt and the exodus out of Egypt to the parting of the Red Sea to the bread from heaven to so many signs that he's been with them. But he's going to send another visual evidence that he is with us, because just like the Israelites, we too sometimes forget all that God has done. So he's going to give them a tabernacle. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9 this morning. And this is God speaking to Moses. Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And God was speaking to them, giving them the law and giving them instructions for the tabernacle. So this is what the Lord has to say to Moses. Have them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them in accordance with all that I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all its furniture, so you shall make it. Now let's fast forward to chapter 29, verses 43 through 46, where he says, I will meet with the Israelites there, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the Israelites, and I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I have a question. Do you have a sacred space where you like to meet with God? You know, just in your daily life, maybe it's a comfortable place in your home. Maybe it's just, maybe some of you people are crazy and get up like farmers at 4:30 or 5 in the morning and go out to be with the Lord. Do you have a sacred space like that? You know, I'm just kind of pick on us a little bit. Casey, my wife, has a really comfortable chair that we put in our bedroom. That was her sacred space for a while until she made the terrible decision to buy throw pillows, and now it's somehow a storage place for our throw pillows. So she's had to find a new sacred space to meet with the Lord in every day. But whatever and wherever your sacred space is, when we genuinely start to grow in our faith with the Lord, we can't wait to be with the Lord. You know, it's like our souls thirst for those times. These regular sacred space where we meet with God. This is what God was doing in our text today. He was giving the Israelites a sacred space for worship and a place to connect with God. The Lord was establishing his presence with his people again. You know, we talked about the Garden of Eden. This is the only time after that, the second time after that, where he came to dwell in their midst again. He was bringing heaven to earth in the desert. Now, it's not like God needs a house to dwell in, right? He doesn't need a tent or a church building to dwell in him, because he's infinite. He's everywhere at all times. Not even the universe can contain him. I love what the Lord said to his prophet Isaiah, that said, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where are you going to build a house for me? But here's the amazing thing about God and what he shows us with the tabernacle is that God, in his love, chooses to come and dwell with us. You know? So Moses was up on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and some may wonder, why was he up there that long? You know, certainly the Israelites wondered that. Remember that from what you said last week? What'd they do? They got in all kinds of trouble, didn't they? But it took a long time. It was a lot of instruction. In fact, if we had read all the verses in between what we read today, you would have seen just the chapters of instructions on how to build the tabernacle and what was going to go on in there. You know, commentators have long observed that while it took God only 6 days to make everything that is, it took him 40 days to tell Moses how to build the tabernacle. Right? It's so incredibly detailed, y'all, that it makes absolutely no sense to me. Does that make sense? Any engineers in the room? Let me just tell you, God is not going to send a dude like me to Lowe's or Home Depot to build a tabernacle. Okay? I mean, seriously, my wife won't even let me hang a picture in the house anymore. It's that bad. You're not going to want to send a guy like me to Salkehatchee to do anything except maybe haul a bunch of stuff around, because you give me a hammer or anything like that, it's trouble. So it took a long time because it was a lot of detail. And it talked about preparation. And how do we prepare for worship when we come into this place? The tabernacle was a giant tent, basically. But it was so much more than just a tent. The Israelites had given so much of, you know, they brought offerings of precious jewels and fine metal and precious fine linens. It was set up right in the midst of the Israelites. It was among the people, and yet it was separate and holy. Including the fence and everything, it was about the size of a quarter of the size of a football field, for those who like to think in those type of terms. It was designed by God, built by the skillful and generous and willing hands of the Israelites. But why a tabernacle? Why this tent of meeting? Well, simply, the tabernacle fulfilled the promise of the covenant. And God is a covenant-making God, so whatever He says and whatever He promises, you can take it to the bank. And it fulfilled this, that God was saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be among you, my people. And I would be your God. What better way for God to show that He was with the Israelites than to put His camp right in the middle of them? If the Israelites ever wondered if God was with them, which they did an awful lot, all they have to do is look over to their campsite, to God's campsite, and see that sacred space. It was a place, again, to connect with God, to worship, and to bring sacrifices for the priests to offer to the Lord. It was a sacred place of God's blessing and presence. It represented His presence at the center of their community and of their nation. Now, I don't have time to go into all the details about what was in the tabernacle and all that today. It'd make a really good Bible study that I look forward to doing with you one day, right? But in summary, the tabernacle, y'all, just pointed to the holiness of God and the seriousness of our sin. Like when the Israelites would come in, they would bring a lamb or a ram or a goat or sheep or, you know, turtle doves and pigeons and all kinds of things, because God can't dwell in the presence of sin. So people would have to bring these sacrifices for the priest to offer. It pointed to the holiness of God and the seriousness of our sin. And yet, I love this, that if I had time, the innermost place in that tent was called the Holy of Holies. And there God would meet with the high priest at the mercy seat. I love that, the mercy seat. Because God is full and rich of mercy, right? Thanks be to Him. Everything about the tabernacle pointed to the majesty and the glory of God, who is pleased to dwell with us. And you know what? For us as Christians, fast forward, everything about the cross, which is now the new mercy seat, points to the fact that God was pleased to dwell with us too. For while the tabernacle was set up in the desert as a constant reminder of who God is and what God has done, the cross and everything about our worship space and everything about our worship service is also there to point us to who God is and what God has done. Amen? And what He's doing in our midst. Think of the table today. You know, what did Jesus say? Do this in remembrance of me. Commune with me. Dwell with me. And when we come into this place, even though God is in us, we're coming into a really special presence of God. So even though the tabernacle, y'all, the tabernacle no longer exists, obviously, but it has extreme significance for us here and now, if we really think about it, because like the Israelites, we were also made to connect with God. Our hearts will be restless until our hearts connect with God. In fact, nothing else, and what I want you to realize, nothing else, as much as we like to put things and chase after this and chase after that, nothing else matters. At the end of our life, what we all need to realize is nothing else matters but God's presence. The singular most important thing at the end of our life, today, tomorrow, or 100 years from now, is God's presence. Is Christ in us the hope of glory? And God has come to tabernacle with us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the way and the truth and the life. So my question is, do you want to live with God? Well, come to Jesus. Or better yet, let Him come to you. I love the Message translation that says, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And listen, just like God planted a tent in the middle of a barren desert, Jesus came into our lives. It sometimes can feel like a barren desert. He came to be a part of our mess. To show us the Father in physical form, to be born into our pain, to share in our pain, to carry our pain and our sins and our shame, to forgive our sins by shedding his blood on the cross. See, the tabernacle, they had to sacrifice animals and sprinkle the blood. Well, the sprinkled blood of Christ cleanses us forever. The blood that was shed at the tabernacle just temporarily cleansed the Israelites. Well, the author of Hebrews so beautifully says Jesus' final sacrifice cleanses us forever, past, future, present. It's wonderful. He forgave us by shedding his blood so that he could come and live within us and live with us forever. We were created to dwell with the Lord and enjoy him forever. That's the way the Bible begins. And then if you read Revelation, those that are in Christ, that's the way it ends, y'all. We get to live and rule and reign with God forever and ever. Which finally brings us to the church. What about the church? Well, you know we are the church, right? We celebrated Pentecost just not too long ago, and we were reminded of how Jesus promised that it was better that he was going away because he was going to send the Holy Spirit to live and to tabernacle within us. The church. So God now tabernacles with us as a church. And the Holy Spirit never leaves us, and he empowers us and sustains us and equips us to do ministry, to be the hands and feet. So we've gone from the tabernacle in the wilderness to the tabernacle of Jesus to the tabernacle that is us as the Holy Spirit lives in us. We've been consecrated by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We are a kingdom of priests. They had priests in the tabernacle. Well, we are a kingdom of priests. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you're God's temple and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? So churches, as we close our time this morning, we're about to move into a new sanctuary building. And I know y'all have been through a lot. I've lived here locally and know that. And let me just say this, that I can't wait to share in the awesome experiences that are going to happen in the new church building. How people are going to experience the grace and mercy of God as we gather together to love God and to love each other and to serve God in the world. I mean, we're going to baptize new people. We're going to celebrate communion and so many things to look forward to. But as excited as we are about the beauty of the new church sanctuary building, cannot compare to the love and the joy and the gratitude and the thankfulness and the compassion and the righteousness and the justice of mercy that is Christ living in us out there. We are the church, the hands and feet of Christ working together in unity by the power of the Spirit to fulfill the great commission to go fishing. That's y'all's mission statement, right? Go fishing. To bring the presence of God to the world. To bring hope and healing and restoration and salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. So with the tabernacle, God desired that all the nations would see the people worship him in such a way that they would marvel. And the same is true for us. God desires that we would worship him in such a way, not only in this place, but more importantly out there as the body of Christ, that people would see and glorify God. What would it look like, church, if we truly opened ourselves up to the power and the presence of God with us? What would it look like if we said, God, make me a sanctuary? Can we open up our hands and say, God, make me a sanctuary. Make me a sacred place for your power and presence to reside and be made known in the world. What if everybody committed themselves to be a part of a life group where we met together every week to care, to pray for each other and to encourage one another, to care for the tabernacle, which is our souls? Can you imagine what the Lord will do? I don't know about you, but I want to experience that supernatural power of God inside and working in the ministries of Advent. And I pray that for us. I pray that for us. And if that's your prayer, I'm going to invite you now, if you're willing, to sing this simple chorus. Sanctuary. You know, the people would come to the tabernacle and they'd have to prepare. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts for what He has to do. Will you sing this with me? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that You would fill us in such a way that we would know that You are the Lord. And we would go from this place today, filled by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to love You and to love others as You've called us to love. Thank You, God, for Your grace and how You came to dwell with us. Thank You, Jesus, for Your mercy. We love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.